that's my question.
Yeah.
That's just a recording device. thank you, Dr. Burden. Good morning. We're here for Scientech Freedom to the Executive Officer. And I want to update you on some things going on in the region and where staff are working on. And kind of give you a few updates on those packets in your binder there. But before I did that, I also want to let you know that Logan Olds has sent me an invitation to share with all of you and our staff, which I'll send to you, inviting us to his grand opening of this new facility to showcase all of these great and wonderful changes he's made to his facility. He really would love to have board members attend if they could. So I'll send that to you. And also, Department of what Amy said, the WQCC meetings are, I think, vastly improved, and they're very interesting and engaging, and if any of you can make it, it'd be fabulous, I think. You really enjoy it. Well, let me start with the EO report that's in your packet. Just give you a couple of updates on those. I reported on 22 timber waiver enrollees that kind of currently failed to file their reports. But I have good news to report. As you recall, when we were looking at our enforcement program and how to make it better, we talked more of the iterative process where we start with a letter or an email or a phone call and say, hey, we need your compliance. And so that's what was done in this situation, that Cushman sent out 22 letters to these folks and said, hey, you know, you're supposed to turn your report to happen. But we got really good response from that. You know, almost all of them turned in. There's a few stragglers they're working on, but I guess it goes to show that, you know, that ratcheting up enforcement, you know, the lowest level does work. And it's a win-win for us and for them because a lot of these were sites that were kind of closed. So the report is the final of the project, so they can move on to other work. So I guess I like to report what the board had wanted to see staff do as well. In your packet also is the DPH report on their MCL Chrome 6. And I just want to let you know, we're still waiting from our colleagues over at PG&E to give us a transition plan for the community. We don't have that yet. I think they're still waiting. July 1st is when that will be effective. It's also July 1st is the date when, in theory, if the governor signs the budget this week, which is very highly likely. July 1st is when DPH will officially transfer to the Water Board, their Safe Drinking Water program. And so I think much will change after that. And also apropos for our discussion of environmental justice, our staff has been working very hard with the CAC, the project manager, and PG&E to take a fresh and new look at how we do community outreach as we have this next step of action items on the part of the board beginning in September on a cleanup and abatement order. And so the CAC, I think, has been evolving and transforming and perhaps, you know, speaks for part of the community but maybe not other parts of the community. So we're, as a group, sort of exploring different ways of how we can reach out to the community and a whole range of issues, as well as we're trying to bring discussions of things other than P2E into the group, like the nitrate pollution from the dairies and other things. So we had hoped to have that dialogue in July, but that wasn't going to work for the schedule, so we're trying to reschedule that now. But I just want you to know that's part of a long-term effort that we're hoping to do. The other thing I want to kind of give you a heads up, which is also in our your packet and in my EO report, is that there was a little bit of a report on Adelanto and some of that our folks are doing down in the office. And I just want to remind our board that as the economy improves, we're likely to see more requests for permits for CEQA. The south part of our region was growing rather rapidly before the recession. And, you know, Adelanto alone, we're talking about building over 35,000 acres and 78,000 new residents. So, you know, I said this is just the beginning. I've seen some reports of San Bernardino wanting to add a bunch of other things to the new county. You know, we just, you know, need to be ready as a region of war to respond to these additional requests and transportation needs and stressors on water quality, you know, which is important. So this fall, we'll be coming back to staff, we'll be coming back to the board to get input on waters of the state. You know, our region is this unique situation, isn't always covered by Clean Water Act firms. There's areas that are not, but it doesn't mean they're any less vital or important to protect. So we'll bring that dialogue to the board in the fall. But I just sort of, these things are colliding. Population increase, growth increase, at the time when the desert is having additional stressors. In my e-report, I also gave an update on the bacteria investigations on Bishop Creek, which, of course, the little tight creek that was running past where we were staying at the Creekside Inn. I'm going to be returning to Bishop on July 1st with my place at and Tom's to talk to the board of supervisors and another public meeting about where we are with that investigation and our next steps with that. But in your report's a little summary of the last meeting and where we are today on that. I'm going to shift gears to another subject area. I'm going to talk a little bit about enforcement. On July 4th, I approved a time schedule order for the Department of Fish and Wildlife's Hot Creek Hatchery. The TSO, as we short for a time schedule order, exempts them from mitigated penalties, these chronic violators. That's particularly because of Tuna Rock on a hard place, this hatchery. I gave them 5 extra years to meet their affluent limits for nitrogen. This extra time is going to allow them to work together to improve the hatchery. We've been working with them already on operations. And the TSO will also give us time to review their data to see if it's appropriate to reestablish the fluid limits or objectives in the hatchery 2 or 3 years in our basin plan. Now, they're really in a difficult situation at that hatchery. They have to use the particular water for their hatchery, and that water has high numbers of nitrogen. Mentioned earlier was our friend Logan Olds from DVWRA on May 29th. I also gave him a time schedule order, TSO, for wastewater discharges to the Mojave River. This is what he referred to as helping the wetlands. I sent intra effluent lumps for ammonia and total nitrogen so DVWRA could build an aeration plant upgrade. And this is something they needed to do. So for a short period of time, a limit of 1 year, they may violate some of the standards, but they need, you know, they got to rebuild the aeration pond, so you got to do something. So this is the kind of thing that we should be doing as a region where I think is working with our partners to try to help them. You know, the upside is, of course, when this gets built, it'll be much better benefits for everyone once he has upgraded that aeration. For those of us that went on the tour, we saw his new aeration pond, we saw the old ones, so to see what he was trying to do. To finish up on enforcement, you're going to have to hold on because Mike's place is going to join me at the end of my presentation. He's going to come up and give the quarterly enforcement report. So he'll be joining me at the end of the report. I'm going to move now over to Lake Tahoe. My dad's around our region now. And as a reminder, August 19th at 10 o'clock is the date for the Lake Tahoe Summit that they have each year. Governors of both states will be there, dignitaries and others. It seems that the theme will be nearshore pollution and fuel reduction. That may change because Senator Feinstein is referred to sponsor this, and we haven't heard back from her what she thinks the final themes will be, but it's highly likely that's what it will be. So those of you that would like to attend, you know, let me know. So should be a good event. Also, tomorrow, I'm going to give a presentation to the Nevada Legislature, their Oversight Committee on TRPA. I'll be doing a joint presentation with Colleen Cripps, my colleague. She's the administrator for the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection. We'll be giving a presentation on the Lake Tahoe water quality in general and our bi-state TMDL for implementation and progress today. So we'll be doing a tag team presentation tomorrow. I'm advanced now down from south to Hinkley. We have a meeting, I'm very excited about it, on July 8th in Victorville. Mike will be a big part of that discussion. And Kirby Grohl, who came yesterday, will be with us as well. And what we're trying to do is kind of have a brainstorming session, thinking outside of the box. you know, how do we solve regional water quality problems when you've got all these moving parts? You have lowlands finding difficulty in meeting requirements when you ratchet down standards in his sewage treatment plant for nitrogen. It's expensive. You have dairy farmers that need to comply, and it's going to be pricey for them to comply. Some have land to put their wastewater on, some don't. PG&E has land where they need farmers. So we're going to have all of us in the room and do some brainstorming on sort of a regional approach to solve water quality problems. And it's I think kind of an innovative approach, and I think all of our staff are, I mean, this is all coming from staff and others, so it's exciting. I'm gonna bounce up next. Up to one thing now.
I'm getting
busy. Are you? I'm keeping awake here. You know. We released a press release today, the Susanville gas station, and you know, one of our programs, I think, is kind of quiet. It wasn't quiet years ago when we were having all the underground storage tank leaks, right? And everyone was up about MTB and concerned in groundwater. Well, that program has been going on for years, and our staff have been quietly and diligently working at cleaning up these sites. We also have a low threat policy, so the ones that we're getting cleaned up. And I feel like sometimes we don't always tell the good news that we do from a regional board. We have a gas station in Susanville. Atasco was a pretty big one. Over 740,000 gallons of groundwater were treated up there, and over 730 cubic yards of soil were removed over a 10-year period. This is right near somewhat near the Susanville River. But now we can clean clubs. Now we're signing off on no further action, which means it's been cleaned up. So you're going to get a report from staff later in the fall on our underground storage tank program, but it really has been a successful program from when it started years and 20 years ago, when we had so many leaking tanks. I feel now that as we're having to clean up and closing them, it's quietly, but we have to remind ourselves of all the hard work that went into getting to that clean closure. It wasn't easy. Sort of on the heels of my discussion about the population increase, our 401 CERT program, we're seeing an uptick in that as well. And, we're hoping, in my budget discussion later, we're hoping to get some additional resources in that area. Although Monday we get resources, but it looks promising that Jan, who's sitting over here, and Toby will get some help finally with the huge volume that we have. For our little region, we have a significant. There's 207 permits right now that we have in play, meaning, you know, we're in the beginning, or being constructed, or being reviewed, or inspected. So it's kind of a workload, and it really is just Toby and Jan and help from a few other folks. But that's a lot of sites for them, and they do an outstanding job. At our Lake Tahoe board meeting, you recall we took up the timber waiver. I'm sure you recall with some community members that came up and spoke about concerns about how the LTVMU was putting their waste piles and what they felt were inappropriate. And I want to just give you a quick update on where we are on that. Our staff did go out in late May and we met with the Robinsons, and they went around and showed us all these areas, and we took note of all that. Staff are going to go out and do a formal inspection soon of that, and write up an inspection report. The next step then is we'll sit down with LTVMU and walk through that. I've been talking to Nancy Gibson, the head of LTVMU, and trying to form a partnership. I was dwelling on Pete's guidance that we're all in this together, the community, us, and LTVMU. So once we figure out a path forward after talking to LTVMU, we were going to have a small, I don't know what you call it, a workshop gathering in the community to kind of share some of the path forward and get their input. And so I'm pulling Nancy into our outreach world, and she's willing to do that. So that's good. The budget. I think it's poised to be signed. I'm going to give a quick update on what's good in there for us. There's lots of good things, but that benefits the state board in general, updating the GAMA, the groundwater database, and many other things. And a Monday that prompts me to move a list, a summary, and I'll share that with you. But it looks promising. We might get additional resources in our region for our plural and CERT program. We will get 1.5 PYs for Leviathan, which we are already announcing for one of the positions on the street. We're still trying to see if we could scrape money to find it, make one PY instead of half a PY for Leviathan. If not, we'll hire someone half-time because we need the help. We got $150,000, and it's probably in perpetuity, for lakeshore, nearshore monitoring and Lake Tahoe. So that's good news. That's from the State Lands Commission fund. I'm told that fund will grow over time, but we share it with the Tahoe Science Council and with the Conservancy. So right now, three-way split, $150,000 each. So, you know, I can't guarantee we will get more money, but we can always try. As a reminder, when we came to the board with our nearshore plan, the price tag was upwards of $1 million if you were to do it right. So, 150, I guess, is a down payment, if you will, on that. The state would also give us $200,000 one-time grant for a causal assessment or a hotspot, which you might recall. There are parts of Lake Tahoe that were more problematic than nearshore pollution than others, and so we're going to focus on the west shore in that one spot with $200,000. And those are all the reports I had. Do you have any questions? Thank you.
Actually, I just have one thought. When you're talking about the population growth in the southern part of I would like to understand better our groundwater recharge beneficial use and whether we are using it effectively. I looked at our basic plan and noted that groundwater recharge is a beneficial use of quite a number of watersheds. But I don't know if there's a way of making that more targeted so that we are effectively protecting areas that are likely candidates for groundwater recharge. And I think we should be protecting those in the southern part of the region especially. So a workshop, something so that we think more about it and using that tool as effectively as we would like to. So somewhere on our future agenda is going
to be talking. Might be working with the waters of the state discussion in the future, Chuck.
Not really. We are dealing with. I can tell you, for every project that comes through our desk through the CEQA process, and we're commenting on those processes or those reports, we're looking at all those beneficial uses to include that beneficial use.
Okay.
And all the other ones that are applicable, obviously, but certainly, and we have a number of groundwater recharge projects that are currently ongoing within the southern part of the region, the Mojave Water Agency, right. LA County. And we expect that there'll be some more in the future, too.
Okay.
So, but I think, yes, the workshop's a great idea.
Okay. Thank you. Good to understand. Yeah. What we're doing is ask if there's anything more we can do. I don't know. Maybe not. Glad to understand that.
Good suggestion. Thank you. And the lines can come up now. We're going to start team.
If I could, Chuck Curtis, supervising engineer. Kathy, you are right. There is a connection to this issue of our looking at waters of the state versus waters of the U.S. in that there's a current proposed revised definition from the U.S. EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers on the definition of waters of the United States for purposes of the Clean Water Act. That current proposed definition could revalve many of our ephemeral intermittent streams, especially those in the southern part of our region. Those are very critical, typically, for recharge of groundwater. So those streams may lose federal protection, then it falls to state protection. We have all the authority that we need to provide that protection, but we do lack some tools such as general permits and similar that are specific to waters of the state. We likely will have to develop those, hopefully with the State Water Board's assistance, because it's not just a Region 6 issue. Although the State Board in the past has not been all that interested in the subject, I think there's more interest coming. And Patty just sent a letter to Tom Howard of the State Water Board commenting on the proposed rule that identifies that as an issue. Chairman Dr. Horn, board members, the public. I'm Mike Lasiak, supervising geologist in the Victor office. We've had a day and a half of great positive stuff. And nobody talked about violations. I'll be on page 11-33. But I'm going to keep it brief, and I'm going to talk about the priority of our violations here. For American Organics, the groundwater pollution from a composting facility, and it's an arsenic pollution problem. And the good news on that is that since Cal Biomass, since American Organics took over that facility in 2009 from the previous owner, Cal Biomass, the concentrations of arsenic have actually gone down. They've changed some of their operating practices, and some of the waste streams that they were bringing in, pre-strap waste and others, they've eliminated those. So it's actually had an impact, a positive impact of what's going on. We met with them last month. And we're expecting we're going to get some more information for the report waste discharge. We're still determining on how we're going to regulate them. They're currently under the WDR program. Whether we bring them to Title 27 is still a question. We're going to have a groundwater monitoring well put in here in the next couple of quarter or so. And then we'll look at the groundwater data and see what that rep brings to us. And then we'll move forward. But we expect to revise their permit this fiscal year coming up. The city of Barstow, the bad news on that, we have a nitrate problem, as you know, but we also have the perchlorate problem, and they have commingled. They have. And in the concentrations that we've seen downgrade in the perchlorate issue have gone up significantly in the last year. The good news is that we've engaged with the city of Barstow, and they are interested in looking at how they can address both problems. So that's the positive thing. The staff has met with them, Jay and Sam, Cody Semi have put some real work into that. And I would say, with the city of Barstow, the attitude and the collaborative atmosphere completely different than it was several years ago. So we're moving in the forward direction. The one note, though, the Thibodeau abatement order that requires them in November to start the cleanup, to actually start implementing that remediation system, will probably need to be amended and moved to the right in time, because what they're going to do is they're revising how they're revising their strategy, basically, and how they're going to clean up both perchlorate and nitrate. So we'll expect to see some amendment to that CAO sometime here in the next few months. They've had two violations. So the fourth one is San Bernardino County. And essentially, if you recall, the air mall problem up in the San Bernardino area, the mountains, Crest Park. Well, this was a county project to replace the culvert, the drywall, just upstream of that in the same location. Staff observed that, and they were out on the other site. It's like, okay. Well,
what we're going to do with them, we're going to meet, we sent the notice of violation to the county, and we're going to meet with them. And this might be a factor of simply one organization within the county not talking with the other. Now we're going to be dealing with Public Works. In the past, we've dealt with flood control, we've dealt with environmental health, good relationships going there, so now we're going to move to the next step. And we expect to have a meeting with them in the next couple of weeks. So that's where we're with that. And lastly, I'll move to the priority two violations. And I'm going to just bring up Molly Corp. She's seen there's been a number of violations with Molly Corp. We're on top of that. We've seen that some of these have been the pipeline break here or there. But there's also been a change in some of the people in the organization, and I think that maybe that change may require us to have a meeting with them to start talking about their spill prevention plan, which we have. We've reviewed it. We want to sit down with them and talk about the problems that we're seeing now and how they need to shore up or build up that spill prevention plan, but also maybe talk about where they're going in the future so we can reduce these the number of spills. I will say this, we're going to have a meeting with them early July that you will see in next quarter, there is going to be another violation of the violation report next quarter because they just had a recent spill, and that one we're going to address in the fact that it might be elevated to the enforcement committee for additional enforcement. But we are going to meet with Molly Corp, start talking about how we're going to get a solution here and see whether or not we can... I should say, we're also going to start talking to the enforcement committee on whether or not we need to kick this up to a higher level of enforcement. Because I think that there are two things going on here. Some of the things are operational and maintenance issues causing spills, and others are just bad practices. So keep you tuned on that. That's pretty much it. That's it for the enforcement violations piece. Are there any questions?
Could you fill in on the cleanup and maintenance order for Molly Corp that's on the street for my consideration? So, because it's confusing between what's for and what's not.
Right. We revised the cleanup and maintenance order for Molly Corp, and that was to deal with the ongoing remediation for their discharges, which occurred several decades ago, up at the Minor Mill site. Right, so that's up at the Mountain Pass area. We have other cleanup and abatement orders issued to them for other discharges in other parts of the facility. But the one that Patty just signed, that's to update that cleanup and abatement order to get that remediation more in line with what they need to do technically and with the path forward. Okay, that cleanup and abatement order, I think, was issued in 1998. The first one, with amendments that followed then on, but I think it's been like a decade since we've updated that abatement order. So we're bringing it to line. And you know, Molly Corp has been pretty much following, doing remediation up at the site. We're just trying to codify some of the changes that have happened in order for the process over time and putting some deadlines in there. And that's out for comment. I think it's the comments would be by the 20th, or it was the 18th and 20th to sue. And then,
They went out to everybody yesterday at about 2 o'clock.
There you go. So moving on with that. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.